you're talking about going back to my original question. So
Yeah. So did we cause this? Yes, we caused this. We caused this because we're all collectively one. We're one of one, and we're also one of our own. And in that, we're constantly connecting. We're this web of consciousness, and we're all interconnected and interrelated. And so all it takes is one person to start thinking something, and next thing you know, it starts... I mean, actually, that thought's coming from higher consciousness, and it's coming from a collective consciousness. None of our thoughts are original thoughts. We're constantly recycling thoughts, and depending on what channel you're on or what frequency or vibration you're on is the thought that you're going to be riding the wave on. And so when a lot of people start riding the wave of these thoughts, other people start catching the same wave. And when people start catching the same wave, the same surf, people start thinking alike and thus creating their environment. So yeah, we created this. We all created this. Whether it was meant to be created, I think so. Any thought that comes out is meant to be because it happened that way. And there's also no right or wrong. It's happening because it's just happening. We as a human species give things emotions when in fact there are no emotions. There's only vibration and energy.
Right.
So yeah, it was meant to happen. Energetically, this was meant to happen and we're riding the wave of it. And now we are changing along the way.
You're right. It is a wave that we're going through. And I can say personally for myself that with technology, there are benefits and there are cons. I'm not going to lie to you. I use ChatGPT for my podcast. But the way that I use it is I use it as like, for example, an assistant.
Sure.
You know, you can use it in a way where as somebody you're dealing with editing or production or you're dealing with something difficult, it's your own personal assistant that you can use that can benefit you. You know, I'm like, imagine you're on Star Trek and you're like, computer! Black coffee. Dark.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's happening. If it's happening on Star Trek, it's happening on another timeline. It's already happening and we're reaching it. Yeah, we're getting there.
I want to go on that timeline. Can we go to that timeline?
Sure,
just,
let's
hop off
let's
this
go.
Podcast and just go there.
Is that your cat?
Hey. Yes, this is Twix.
Hi, Twix. How's it going, Twix? I have two kitties of my own. Twiki Twix.
She's an official part of the podcast. We call her our producer.
I wish I could make my cat part of the podcast, but he's very loud and he would be all over me and not allow me to concentrate. Yeah.
She's really good with the podcast, thankfully. I haven't had she's tried climbing on the mic a few times. But I totally agree with you. They're wonderful little critters, but they're definitely can be a little pain when you're trying to do things like, you know, talking about this for a sec, I will say as somebody that still dealt with a lot of mental health issues, one of the coping mechanisms that I've been able to deal with is because of having a pet. You know, I found that pets have been a really great way to ground yourself.
Yes.
And it's always like, oh my God, can I imagine my life alone without her?
Like, what would that look like for you?
I probably would have been dead.
Why is that? So you're saying that your cat saved your life, or that your cat is saving your life?
In a way, because she was rescued. Like, she's a runt and she's a mutt. Mm-hmm. She's like a calico, so she's like, we don't even know what her breed is. And she was like the small one of her litter, so like her mom abandoned her. And the first time I saw her, like I had a friend, this was when I was living in Israel. This was back in 2018. She calls me up. It was like an hour after my shift. I was heading home. And she sounded really frantic. And I said, hey, what's going on? She said, I was coming back from college. And there was these two cats in this trash can and this orange one. And we like tried to go over to it and like just went under the trash can. And we started just walking down the street.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden we turned around and there's this cat that's following us. And she's like covered with fleas and ticks. And she looks terrible, but like she's really cute and she needs somebody to take care of. Can you take care of her? And I said, sure. They brought her over. The first time I saw her, she was on the floor. She crawled up my leg and plopped herself down on my knees.
Oh, love at first sight, huh?
Love it. And I was like, okay. I was like, you know, maybe I'm going to foster her for like a month or two.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
It almost 6 years later, I still have it.
Well, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, for sure. My pleasure. But in a way, she has grounded me is because just like she's given me that compassion.
Yeah.
And said, you know, even though I was abandoned and I was left aside, like, I know that you can take care of me and be responsible for me.
Sure.
That, how could I possibly leave her?
Right. Exactly.
It's even like a hard thought to even think about. And it's a thing that I've started to realize that when you start to learn unconditional love, it's probably one of the hardest things any human being will ever have to do in their life. And they can do it.
They can do it so easily.
Second.
What else have you learned about unconditional love?
Compassion. No two people, sorry, will ever think the same. When you're compassionate towards another person and try to understand what they're saying to you instead of like viewing it through a very specific close view, you know, and targeting only those words you want to hear. No, you got to hear the whole sentence.
Mm-hmm. And then how do you become compassionate?
It's a hard one. I think the honest thing to be compassionate is you have to surround yourself by like-minded people and be open to criticism, be open to honesty, and feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you can generally express real compassion towards other people.
So can you express compassion to people that are not like-minded?
It's hard.
Why is that?
Because me personally, I don't know how they're feeling behind those doors. I don't necessarily believe what they're telling me sometimes. I don't know what I should trust or believe. So it's very difficult to process.
I can see that it's difficult to process for a lot of people. However, the true meaning and feeling of compassion is unconditional love, as you stated, whether they feel a certain way about you or not, whether they like you or not. True compassion is love for humanity as a whole, as they are in front of you. Because underneath their meat suit, the meat suit that we wear, we're all one divine unifying energy. And there's no judgment in that. If anybody's judging you, that's because they have fears. You have fears. You're reflecting on each other's fears. But underneath all those fears is all love. Underneath anybody's fear is love. And that's true compassion. To love the bum down the street, to love your cat the way that you did, fleas and all, no matter what. Compassion exists when you let go of fear and pain. For everybody.
For sure. And anything. Yeah, 100%. And one thing that I definitely have had to learn is, you know, I'm honestly a stoner all the time. I'm stoned at work.
That's okay.
But I'm the type of stoner that I use weed as a way to balance out my anxiety, depression, and PTSD in a really healthy and fun way, where not only do I see the world more in a flow state, where I try to stay at one prerogative, one thing at a time, and if something is too heavy and deep, I try to think to myself, okay, can I realistically deal with this right now? Can I take care of it right now? No. Okay. So why am I stressing myself out right now?
Sure.
When I can focus about this a little later, when I have the funds, availability, and responsibility to take care of it. It's just, for me, what I've learned is changing your perspective and your ideology bit by bit.
Definitely.
Well, what are you thinking? You're thinking something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, marijuana definitely gives you some tranquility. So when something gets a little too much, like, do I have to do this now? Then you're able to smoke marijuana and it's able to calm you down, relax you. Are you able to do it then? Are you able to do it when you smoke marijuana?
Actually, my boss, okay. he always says this. He's like, whenever I'm very stressful in the kitchen, he's like, Dave, he's like, go outside, go smoke, come back. It literally had me leave. He's like, go do a smoke break, come back a little later.
Do you ever feel you ever not smoke?
When I don't, it's very uncomfortable. Because a lot of the times I get, for me, like for example, my PTSD is very vivid memories. So I can literally be in a car and bam. And the problem is I lose sometimes focus. Mm-hmm. Which happens sometimes.
Sure.
It's not very safe. And my anxiety goes up really high. I can't do shit.
When the PTSD hits, you can't do anything. You're frozen.
No, I'm like a delirious potato.
What happens after that?
What do you mean?
What happens after you're delirious and you're like a potato and you're frozen?
It's kind of hard to explain, but almost where I just kind of go through the day very slowly.
Mm-hmm. And is that the point when you smoke marijuana and it helps you with the PTSD, or do you kind of just go home and wait for it to dwindle? How do you get out of that state?
So it's interesting for me because with cannabis, it definitely gives you that sense of paranoia. And what it does is it kind of turns the PTSD into like Krusty the Clown, but like this big. And it's so funny. I will just sometimes laugh out loud because all of a sudden, like, I just think of Cat Williams, you know, or like Snoop Dogg, or I like have a moment. I'm like, oh my God, why? I was fucking 14 years old. Jeez Louise. I would have beat up that fucking cocksucker myself.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Life is way too short. And at the end of the day, we're just one speck, a part of the universe's plan.
Sure. Absolutely.
So how much are you going to put on your shoulders until it's enough? Look, money's always a problem. You know, responsibilities are always a problem. There's always going to be problems in life, big and small.
But problems are only problems if you title them problems and you believe them to be problems.
Instead of solutions.
Then, exactly. If you're saying it's a problem, if you're saying right now that money will always be a problem, and that chores and activities and all these other things will always be problems, they will always be problems. But if you start to look at them in the eyes of solutions, in the eyes of a different perspective, in the eyes of love, bring love into it. Bring love into the problem. Bring love into chores. When you bring love into it, you start doing things more lovingly. And when you do things more lovingly, it's no longer a problem. When you saw your cat and there were fleas all over your cat and it was a cat in the street, didn't know what was going on with it, the fleas may have been a problem, but guess what? You invited love. And once you invited love, you saw the compatibility and the lifelong partnership that you're having with this cat. The beginning problem of it having fleas and being a street cat was no longer a problem because you introduced love into it.
Yeah, and one thing I've also learned, there's this common theme with cats where they're viewed as the devil's children. And as a cat owner, one thing that I have, look, I've had an evil cat. I swear to you, this cat, I had a cat before her, was the daughter of the devil. Like,
okay.
The devil created this baby and put it in a cat, and that's what it gave birth. She was evil. Like, to the point she used to have demonic meows. At like 3 a.m.
Oh my goodness.
It was horrifying. Anyway, point is, what I learned was, like, especially with Twix.
Sure.
She, even though she's a cat, you realize the way that you interact with them, even with dogs, they mimic you.
Sure.
She mimics the way I walk. She mimics the way I talk. That's why she meows certain ways to me, because she knows that she'll get reactions. Isn't it interesting on how animals, even like, for example, horses are another great example of this, they learn a way of interacting with humans, and they adapt and evolve to learn and interact with humans. So we're all about the artist. That is the whole purpose of this podcast, period. And you have a really valuable tool. You can share this with artists, people that are creative, someone that can enjoy this podcast and really enjoy the experience of Lost in the Groove. So with that, let's jump back to today's episode, shall we? I came across this thought and I said to myself, isn't that interesting? And how, as humans, we can communicate without speech.
Mm-hmm. We can. And as animals mimic who you are, so do humans. They reflect who you are. And so going back to the problem type mentality of things are a problem, things will continue to reflect back to you as problems. But if you see things as solutions and with love, the way that you see your cat and the way your cat is reflecting to you, everything else will start reflecting that back to you.
For sure. By the way, I have to say, I love you for this, because there's not that many times when I'm doing or having conversations with people that I get to have like this amount of time to talk about Twix, you know, you know, like she's pretty much in every single episode, like out of almost like over 200 episodes, you're like, wait a minute, there's a tail there, there's a paw, there's an ear.
Sure. Yeah,
can't edit all of those out. You know,
I mean, there's a reason why Twix is around you, definitely.
So how's your experience as a cat owner been, like, you know, with your two little babies?
That's a good question. So my first cat, these are my first cats. I have Felix. He's a tuxedo cat. And I have Gatina. She is a calico, just like your cat.
Oh my God.
And I know. How funny, huh?
They're
complete opposite personalities. Felix is very affectionate, very loving, very needy. And Gatina's very, leave me alone. I've got my own independent personality. Who are you? I'm good.
It's like, bye, Felicia.
Yeah, pretty much. But Felix, because I was born with a lot of health issues, I had a lot of health issues in the beginning of my life, actually up until just like 4 years ago. Felix also had a lot of health issues when I adopted him. And that's actually what got me to adopt him, because we had some stuff in common. And so it's been challenging. That cat has been very expensive, thousands and thousands of dollars, but I don't regret any of it. I feel that he brings me a lot of peace, joy, gratitude. Sometimes he pisses me off. He doesn't shit in the box. He shits on the floor everywhere, all the time, every day, twice a day. And I've had him for 11 years, and he's been doing it for 11 years. So it's frustrating, but at the same time, I'm used to it, and that's just what he does. That's his glitch, I guess.
I love it. I love it. And that's great, because, you know, you got two that are complete polar opposite personalities from each other.
Yeah, totally.
You know? Isn't it interesting on how you can have people or even animals that don't have the same, you know, lifestyle be in the same room?
It is. I remember when I first got my cat, I thought, this is really interesting. There's a cat in my apartment. I mean, I thought that was really, because I was used to, actually, I was raised with birds, so I had a lot of birds, and I was cool with a bird in my apartment, because it was a tiny little
parrot?
Baby. What's that? No, parakeets, yeah.
Parakeets? Oh, yeah. God!
I loved my parakeets, you know, but then all of a sudden
they
I had this cat.
Chirp all day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's interesting to exist among each other, animals and humans. It's really, it's beautiful, it's harmonious.
So you basically had dinosaurs growing up.
Yeah, yeah. I do a little
That's
mini
so
dinosaurs.
Funny.
I know. It's
oh
I love
God.
It. They do. They have like dinosaur, but no arms, you know, it's like just body and head.
I thought that was so fascinating when they discovered that birds are dinosaurs. I mean, because we knew that like alligators and crocodiles were one of the oldest reptile species.
They are, yeah. Actually, pelicans are the closest ancestral dinosaur pelicans.
Pelicans.
Yeah. They have the same skeleton as the, was it pterodactyl? What's the name of the flying dinosaur?
I think it was the pterodactyl.
Yeah, they have the same skeleton. It's really amazing. Yeah, I know. It is.
Isn't that crazy?
I know. I love it. I love pelicans.
Well, they're nasty. They could be nasty buggers. You got to be careful with
them. I don't get that close to them.
No, you don't want to get too close to them. I mean, you could definitely know why they're dinosaurs. Just like,
yeah,
they come at you, you know? They're like, ah.
Oh, my goodness.
Our thing out here is we have Egyptian ducks.
I don't even know what an Egyptian duck looks like.
Okay, so you can Google this. I think they're called Egyptian ducks. They have like black spot around their eyes. And they live as pairs. So this is interesting.
Yeah.
They live as pairs for the rest of their lives. So they pair with a mate, and they're with them 24/7. They shit together. They poop together. They eat together.
Yeah.
Everything together. They never separate.
Penguins are the same, and so are pigeons. They're actually the same way. They have the same mate for life. Yeah.
It's again, beautiful, like, honestly. I love always like looking at other things within our planet to interact as us, you know, as like human beings, because think about that. Like, even in the animal kingdom, you have creatures that have this interaction. Like, I want to be with you for the rest of my life.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. Yeah, it totally is.
But it's like, we as humans, we're like, all right, honey, I want a fucking divorce. That's it.
I know.
Done. Finish. Finito.
Yeah, all right.
Send over the $15,000. Let's go.
Go back to penguin mentality and pigeon mentality for sure.
Oh, my God. that is an interesting thing, though, because when you're, like, for me, I've had kind of a limited interaction, like, for example, with relationships. But I feel that now, because you have all of this online dating and you have all of the social media and it's a little harder to meet people out
in person.
Yeah, because like we're going to meet somebody. Like, I'm going to go to the gay disco. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a great idea. I'm going to have like 3 one-night stands and maybe 4 twosomes. I don't know. You don't even know who you're going to meet there too either. Like, so
yeah,
you then have online dating, right? And then online dating is where, like, you match with somebody, and then you message them, and then you wait. And then they message you 5 months later. And then you maybe go on a date 9 months later.
Yeah.
And you don't even like the person.
Right, yeah. That's online dating, yeah. Yep, that's how it goes. It's frustrating.
It is. What's your, I'm curious, like, what's your perspective and like, what's your elaboration if you can have on it?
Yeah, so I was single for 8.5 years because I was living in hospitals, didn't know whether or not I was going to live or survive. And I was also in between genders. I really was looking to find myself and to find confidence within myself. So I didn't really date anybody for 8.5 years. I met some people online through social, some apps and stuff. And I had the same thing. It was like, they ghost you or they have something rude to say right away. And I realized at the very end, though, when I decided to delete all the apps, that the reason why I didn't feel good was because that wasn't the avenue, that wasn't my vibe. And since it wasn't my vibe, it was time to admit it, let it go, and understand and feel that the universe was going to unite me with an equal match, an equal vibration. And that I put out there that I wanted to meet them in person, not an app. Not any other way, like that's going to be in person. And so, yeah, that's how I changed that perspective. And when I changed the perspective and understood that somebody was going to see me for my inner light and the love that I have to share and give, that's really when I came across finding people. And yeah, I'm in a really, really loving, beautiful relationship now. But it took some while. It takes a lot of inner love, self-love. Knowing that you're worthy, knowing that you're worth it, believing it, feeling it, putting it out there, writing it down, meditating on it, and being that person. Not just saying you're worthy, but be worthy. What does worthy mean to you? How can you be worthy of yourself?
Yeah.
And when I started doing all these things for myself, that's when I finally was able to let down my walls and open up the channels and the windows, and the opportunities came forth to me.
Yeah, you know something, that's a really beautiful point, and it brings up a great thing about interactions and connections with those relationships. One of my best friends, which actually is the host of American Groove, which is a segment for Lost in the Groove, name's Carissa. We met sheer coincidence, and I was at a time in my life where I just moved to LA. You know, I came out of a career working in the food industry into customer service. And when I first met her, I knew immediately, like, there was just something about her. And we became very, very close friends, to the point now that even though, like, she lives in Iowa and I'm here in Florida, we talk all the time. She wants to come out here in like a month or so. And we do a podcast together. We constantly am trying to get that vibration, yes, that connection together, because we love and care about each other very, very, very much. And you're right. You get those experiences in your life when you put that out to the world. You know, I put out to the world that, like, this is a new part of me. Like, I'm doing something different. And she showed up to it.
Yeah. Well, you opened up the path showed itself because you were open for it. You were open to it. And you let down your walls. And when you let down your walls, you open up that energy field. And that's the same way, yeah, with dating. Same way with dating. Same way with everything in life, with careers, with whatever you want. Let down the walls. You let down the resistances. You release the blockages, and it comes to you. Everything you've ever wanted is—it's already on its way. It's like right here. It's staring at you. But we put all these blocks. No, 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 no. You start releasing these blocks, and it's like, hey, man, here I am. I've been waiting for you. The universe wants to give you what you want. It's waiting for you. You ask for it. You ask. It said, you ask, and you shall receive. Whether it's good or bad, you're going to receive it.
We are the universe because the universe is made out of us.
Yeah.
We're all interacting. we're all made out of the same molecules and
exactly
down to the atom.
We sure are.
But the thing is that I went from a career working in corporate. I was in a prison. AKA corporate call center for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It was hell. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Like,
I've worked at a call centers before. I know what that's like. Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah. Cubicle, no windows. I mean, it's the same routine over and over. Yeah. It's
kill me.
It is bad. Yeah.
So I got a part-time job in October of last year in a brewery. Out here in Fort Lauderdale, and they basically fired me in November. And then I became full-time at the brewery in the kitchen, and now I'm the head chef and I manage the kitchen.
That's awesome.
So, again, to your point, like, when I left that job, I remember my mom called me, like, literally an hour after I got fired, and she says to me, are you going to be okay? You know what I said to her? I'm going to be fine. I'm not even really worried. I really wasn't that worried.
Something else was on its way to you, and you were, whether or not you were aware of it, it was on its way to you. And anytime anyone gets fired from a job, that's really the universe saying, hey, this is not for you. There's a different direction. You didn't choose to leave before. When your gut instinct was telling you this is not good, this is dark, this is depressing, but you still stayed there. And when you're still stayed, anytime you get something, a discourse, a feeling that's not in alignment with who you are and you don't make a change, the universe is going to push you to that change. And that push is you getting fired. So there's always a blessing in disguise. Everything is a redirection to what you want. It's always going to be that way. And it's actually really beautiful. Beautiful to see how it all unfolds.
It's in a way, you know, just like your career has pushed you to psychology.
Yes.
Correctly. Okay. And for me, in a way, I've been in the food industry for 6.5 years, and this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm an artist. I'm a person that I'm very good doing artistic things. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, that whole thing was just kind of a setback. And, you know, people always talk about being successful. You know, I remember having conversations even with fellow artists about, you know, being famous. And the one thing I always go back to is look at, like, for example, like Freddie Mercury. Okay?
Okay.
Freddie Mercury, for him to become successful, was like over 20 years. No one gave a shit about him in the early 70s. They laughed at him. You can hear recordings. And he knew that he wanted to be a performer. Yeah. And he knew he was good at it. He just kept on doing it.
That's
to this day,
the secret
he's
is to keep
one
on
of
doing
the
it.
Most successful artists.
Yeah,
ever.
Incredible. Yeah, I love Freddie Mercury.
So you can have that view of, yeah, I want to be famous. I need to get more followers. I need to put out more posts. I need to grow my audience.
Yeah.
But is that really what you should be focusing your energy on?
It isn't. And I make the same mistake, actually. And it is a mistake. I know there are no mistakes. Okay, here's the thing. I changed my own words. There are no mistakes, only clarifying objectives or only clarifying answers, only clarifying
paths. What was
Bob
Ross's? Oh, there's only happy accidents.
Exactly. There's only happy accidents. I love that, Dave. Yeah, there's only happy accidents. Exactly. But I fall into that as well, into that mental trap. I'm like, well, what's going on with here? But I mean, you can only do so much. And at the very end, it's what's fueling you. Whatever's fueling you, do more of what's fueling you. Do more of what you're passionate about and keep doing it and do it better and do it better and do it better. It's just all about the love. Just keep raising that love for what you already have love for.
Right. And it kind of also ties back to like what we were talking about earlier about how compassion ties into unconditional love.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird as humans, and I feel like even myself, we're... When you start to have the perspective and ideology that planning and organization and you need to be here, you need to go here. Why do you need to go there? How come you have to be here? You know, it's weird. I am a person on an organic rocket ship flying in outer space.
Yeah.
I don't control the planet.
Right.
Okay. I don't control its orbit or any of that matter. I'm just here a part. I'm like one of the passengers on board that rocket ship.
Right. Which is why it's best to go with the flow. Just the way the planets and everything is kind of just flowing and doing its own thing together. They trust each other. They're kind of just rotating, spinning on their own axis.
Isn't life though better, honestly, when you have a more easygoing and... Again,
absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Flow state. Go with the flow.
Go with the flow, man. Yeah, the hippies were right. The hippies were right.
The hippies were right. Yeah, for sure.
God. So I'm just curious because we didn't even talk about your podcast. Do you want to talk a little bit about the podcast that you do?
Sure. I started podcasting 3 years ago.
Ooh,
and,
same. I started 2021.
I started December 2021, 22, 23, 2020. So this
May 2021.
December, this December coming up for me will be 4 years. I just made 3 years. Just made
nice.
3 years. Yeah. So yeah, I actually started podcasting. Well, the reason I started podcasting was so what the disease that I was born with, when there's inflammation in the body, it can cause paralysis in parts of the body. And it had paralyzed my vocal cords. So I didn't talk for 2.5 years. I had learned sign language. And when that happened, I was in silence. And in the silence, I became depressed. And because I was becoming deaf and mute or hearing aids. And so within that depression is actually where I found true love for myself. I became a practicing Buddhist. I found a Buddhist meditation center. I started meditating on the daily and reading a lot of meditative books, books about the Buddha. And I gained the philosophy. I fell in love with the philosophy. And when I started falling in love with philosophy, I fell in love with compassion. And that is actually what Buddhists teach, compassion. And in compassion for everyone, I found compassion for myself. And everything that I'd gone through, I realized was for me to have more compassion for others. And so in this compassionate state is where I started to meditate a lot and get messages. And in my messages and in my prayers, where I got some of the visions, tell me I was going to start a podcast. I thought it was ridiculous at the time because I wasn't talking. How am I going to do a podcast if I don't have a voice? And so the messages that came down were trust, believe, have faith. The more I trusted, the more I believed, the more I had faith, the more I had love. Then I met the right doctors. I got on the right medications. My voice started to come back and I started the podcast. I started a podcast with one vocal cord. It hurt so much to talk. I would look at the time and be like, oh my God, it's only been 5 minutes. But I kept going. I kept going because I trusted and I believed. And so as time went by, the podcast, I started interviewing a lot of people that healed their own diseases. And so because that's what I was reflecting and that's what I wanted deep down. Everything that you want, you're going to reflect, you're going to receive. I wanted healing. I wanted to do this so I can also help heal others and we can all heal each other collectively. And so all these people started uplifting me. I interviewed authors. Well, I'm an author too. This is incredible. You're spiritual. I'm spiritual too. LGBTQ community. I mean, it kept going. Everything that I was coming across in my interview. I kept uplifting it and kept upgrading, changing my colors, changing my signs, and even changing the way I dress. I mean, so where I'm at now with the podcast, it's doing an incredible job. It's motivating a lot of people. I love it. I've got a goal to have my own show, whether it be a cross between Oprah, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel. I wear suits and tuxedos pretty much to all my podcast episodes. This is the most casual I've been. But I love it. I love the array that I have, but I'm putting forth the energy that I am to being because that is what I'm becoming. I'm already becoming and therefore I'm being what I'm becoming. And that's where I'm at with the podcast. I love motivating people. I love inspiring people. And I'm so pumped up every time I do a podcast. When I click off, I'm so happy. I'm so happy with every connection I have. And everybody has helped me heal. And I'm certain that there's something about my energy has helped them as well. So, I mean, it's a equal give and take. And the reciprocity is what's the most beautiful thing about podcasting.
For sure. I love that. And it's called A Little Less Fear?
Yeah, A Little Less Fear Podcast.
Sounds like a John Lennon song.
It sounds like a John Lennon song. All you need is a little less fear.
Yeah. Oh, God. I could tell you this. There's a terminology for people that leave the community, which is called off the derech. And for a lot of us, they stay fucked up for a very long time of their life. Some of us, you know, I remember the first time that I started looking into Buddhism. I'm a secular Buddhist. I'm non-practicing by any nature. But I remember when I, you know, kind of left that and I started looking for kind of a purpose and a meaning. And like you said, it's finding that compassion and it's being able to understand that everything is a part of a cycle.
Yeah.
Everything flows and connects and interacts with one another in some way or shape or form. And you're not there to understand how those connections are supposed to work.
Exactly. Yeah, we're not supposed to know the how. We're supposed to be here for the journey. The
exactly.
journey, not the destination. The destination is just, oh, wow, I got here. This is awesome. But the journey is what made it fun.
It really does. And it's hard, though, because for a lot of the people that I remember, you know, even coming out of the community that I came out of, not ever being able to find peace with themselves. You know, for me, that part of my life, he passed away. He's not alive anymore. So when anybody like refers to that person, who?
Which person? The person that was
before 2017. The way I view it is that part of me has passed away. You know, just like a phoenix. Sure. Even though it's a mythical bird, I always love using this analogy. Just like a phoenix. Dies and comes down into ashes, burns and becomes ashes.
Right.
From those ashes, bores another child.
Mm-hmm.
You have a new bird, you have a new phoenix.
Yes, definitely. What does passing away mean?
Hey, it's Dave, and I quickly just wanted to jump in and say, if you've been enjoying the podcast and enjoying this episode, if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that'll be so greatly appreciated. Because here's the thing, someone might read that review and make the choice if they want to listen to the podcast. You get to help grow this podcast with us. How fucking cool is that? Let's jump back to today's episode.
To you.
Meaning when I feel that part of myself, I still feel a connection, but it's a distant memory. Distant in a way that it is interactive with my subconscious.
So it's energy.
In a way, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm certain you know, that energy can't be created nor destroyed. Therefore,
no.
It can't pass away. Therefore, it can't pass away.
Right, but when you're talking about that part of you, because I feel every single person, and when I say every single person, I feel like every single person is just like a book, has different chapters in their life. And we call them, you know, highs and lows. There's a lot of different ways you can kind of judge it, peanut butter and jelly. But that energy still exists. But just like you have a book and you're reading the next chapter, the other chapter is on the other side.
Mm-hmm. But the chapter still exists within the book.
Correct.
It hasn't
died. You're not on that chapter anymore. You're on the new chapter.
Yeah, I feel that what you're relating this more to is like an expansion. You've expanded, and because you've expanded, you're no longer that other lower vibration. You've gone up, you've risen up, and because you've risen up, you're no longer on that vibrational wheel that you were on before. You're a different vibe now, but it's still a part of you, and it still made you who you are today.
The person before, I could not speak in front of more than myself.
And now you're on a podcast.
Yeah, I can do a podcast and talk with people for hours if I wanted to, but it's just, like you said, you know, a bigger vibration in a way, understanding that you can do more than you're capable of.
Exactly, yeah. But the book is still there. I understand that saying that part has passed away and that part is no longer there. But that part, it still took that part to get there. It still takes some appreciation and gratitude, because if it wasn't for that quote unquote already gone dead part of you, you wouldn't be where you're at today. So actually that dead part of you is still alive because it brought you life, and life creates life.
Yeah, for sure. It again, you know, a lot of the times when you deal with, for example, like cult communities, and I didn't get the strongest part of the rod. But for me, and I've heard from other people that have had similar experiences, one of the healthier ways to deal with it is to understand that it's that part, and you need to focus on, you know, I have to learn how to adapt to living a normal life.
Sure.
Try to understand that I grew up where you need a doctor. Part of the Jewish community. You go to the grocery store, it's part of the Jewish community. You need to get a car, it's part of the Jewish community. You want to get your taxes done, it's done by somebody in the Jewish community. Everything is done within the community.
Yes.
So when you leave, balancing a bank by yourself or buying a car by yourself or going to a grocery store by yourself, figuring it's a lot to process and handle.
Sure.
And it's a learning curve. So
it is a learning curve.
I agree with you. I guess passing away is not the correct terminology, but one of the ways I've just found the easiest way is like it's chapter number 2 and I'm on chapter 23 and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
So
and the reason
here.
Why you're enjoying it, and which is a plus for you, which is incredible that you're able to be aware that you're enjoying it, is because you're being in the present moment. And true joy can only exist in the present moment. And the more present you are, the more things you're able to see things unfold for you in front of your very eyes. Things can't unfold for you in front of your very eyes yesterday or tomorrow. They can only happen right here, right now.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
So yeah, and that's the beauty of you being on this current chapter right now, being present.
It's also, you know, you were talking about fashion earlier. You're saying you wear tuxedos, which, by the way, very snazzy. I like it. My style is very 70s and 80s.
Sure.
And I've managed to keep that up for like the past 5 or 6 years. And it's to the point where I have people like sometimes just ask me like, man, where'd you come up? I just like dressing like it's 1976.
You're flowing. Like, you're flowing with the timelines, yeah. And you're feeling that vibe. Yeah, but, I think it's,
you know,
fun.
Sometimes, you know, you get all focused and like, oh, what's the style? You know, like what's the trend? I don't give a shit about the trend. I'm gonna wear some baggy jeans today.
Yeah, feel whatever feels good. Do it. Whatever feels good for you.
You know, and it's like also like, do you wear bow ties? Please tell me bow ties.
I do wear bow ties. Yeah.
Yes. I love me some bow ties.
Yeah, you can check out my YouTube channel, also A Little Less Fear Podcast, and you see, you can check out what the my little wardrobes.
You do a video version of your podcast?
Every single time.
Oh, fuck,
and you know what?
Yeah.
What started me doing that actually is because when I wasn't speaking, I became really close with the deaf community, and when my voice came back, I told them I was podcasting. They're like, "Well, what's that?" I was like, holy crap. You know, a lot of people have the privilege of their ears and not realize that YouTube and audio podcasts are for people that can hear only. And so I decided to open up the YouTube channel for subtitles for them specifically. And I really didn't promote it till about a year ago. I started finally promoting YouTube, but it's a lot. It's a lot to be promoting on all social media and having videos. And it's a lot of energy, but I love it. That's why I keep going. That's why I keep doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I also do YouTube versions of our videos. It's honestly the best way. It really, really is. Because it really gives you that ability not only to grasp other types of audiences, but also gives you that ability like to show your face. You're like, hello.
Absolutely.
Hello, world.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're right. I mean, I think like limiting yourself just to audio, especially now, is just like, come on, you need a little video in there. And you're right, like captions, they do them automatically. It's crazy.
It is crazy, and they've gotten better with time.
Yeah, it's like I remember just like picking a few settings, like, would you like this? Da da da. I was like, okay, done.
Yeah, yeah. And
voila, it makes it captions. For you.
Definitely.
Question I wanted to ask you is, where can people find your socials, your podcast?
My podcast is on all major audio podcast platforms, but to find all of my information, go on my website at www.alittlelessfear.com. You find all the links to my social all the way down at the bottom. You'll see all the little icons. And I'm on TikTok, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Instagram. I've got two different Instagrams. My other Instagram is called Poetic Alignment. I'm a poet. I've been writing since I was about 5 years old. And that's at Poetic, P-O-E-T-I-C dot Alignment, A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T. That's on Instagram. I create video poetry with music and my voice. And I love it.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
So you have a knack for writing, then, if you do poetry.
I sure do. I write all the time, thousands of pages in my life.
Oh, my
yes.
God. Does your house look like a library, you know, with, like, all those notebooks and pads everywhere?
It's more like my garage full of bins of old little books that I've written. Yeah, all kinds.
I love
that.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, listen, Lino, it has been an absolute privilege. And I have to say, this is kind of cool, actually, because like we feel like we got like to a lot of like little pieces, you know, and like things like, ooh. You were asking me like about compassion, unconditional love. It's just like a great way to just get in depth.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed this. Thank you so much for this interaction. I appreciate the opportunity and your energy.
Hey, I try. And if anybody wants to check out the podcast, you can find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. So with that, catch you on the next one. All right, guys. Bye.